fire. "You, Hyrcanian dog," mouthed this apparition in a barbarous accent. "The devils of vengeance have brought you here."
"Kozak!" ejaculated Shah Amurath, recoiling. "I did not know a dog of you escaped. I thought you all lay stiff on the steppe by Ibar's river."
"All but me, damn you," cried the other. "Oh, I've dreamed of such a meeting as this, while I crawled on my belly through the brambles, or lay under rocks while the ants gnawed my flesh, or crouched in the mire up to my mouth. I dreamed, but never hoped it would come to pass. Oh, gods of hell, how I have yearned for this!"
The stranger's bloodthirsty joy was terrible to behold. His jaws champed spasmodically, froth appeared on his blackened lips.
"Keep back,"
ordered Shah Amurath, watching him narrowly.
Ha! It was like the bark of a timber wolf. "Shah Amurath, the great lord of Akif. Oh, damn you, but I love the sight of you. You who fed my comrades to the vultures, who tore them between wild horses, blinded and maimed and mutilated them. Ah, you dog, you filthy dog!"
His voice rose to a maddened scream, and he charged. In spite of the terror of his wild appearance, Olivia looked to see him fall at the first crossing of the blades. Madman or savage, what could he do, naked, against the male chief of Akif? There was an instant when the blades flamed and licked, seeming barely to touch each other and leap apart. Then the broadsword flashed past the saber and descended terrifically on Shah Amurath's shoulder. Olivia cried out at the fury of that stroke. Above the crunch of the rending mail, she distinctly heard the snap of the shoulder bone. The Iconian reeled back, suddenly ashen, blood spurting over the links of his hauberk. His saber slipped from his nerveless fingers.
"Caught her!" he gasped.
"Caught her!"
There was a quiver of frenzy in the stranger's voice.
"Caught her such as you gave us, you swine!"
Olivia closed her eyes. This was no longer battle, but butchery, frantic, bloody, impelled by an hysteria of fury and hate, in which culminated the sufferings of battle, massacre, torture, and fear-ridden, thirst-maddened, hunger-haunted flight. Though Olivia knew that Shah Amurath deserved no mercy or pity from any living creature, yet she closed her eyes and pressed her hands over her ears, to shut out the sight of that dripping sword that rose and fell with the sound of a butcher's cleaver, and the gurgling cries that dwindled away and ceased. She opened her eyes to see the stranger turning away from a gory travesty that only vaguely resembled a human being. The man's breast heaved with exhaustion or passion. His brow was beaded with sweat. His right hand was splashed with blood. He did not speak to her or even glance toward her. She saw him stride through the reeds that grew at the water's edge, stop and tug at something. A boat wallowed out of its hiding place among the stalks. Then she divined his intention and was galvanized into action.
"Oh, wait!" she wailed, staggering up and running toward him. "Do not leave me. Take me with you."
He wheeled and stared at her. There was a difference in his bearing. His bloodshot eyes were sane. It was as if the blood he had just shed had quenched the fire of his frenzy.
"Who are you?"
he demanded.
"I am called Olivia. I was his captive. I ran away. He followed me. That's why he came here. Oh, do not leave me here. His warriors are not far behind me. They will find his corpse. They will find me near it. Oh!"
She moaned in her terror and wrung her white hands. He stared at her in perplexity.
"Would you be better off with me?" he demanded. "I am a barbarian, and I know from your looks that you fear me."
"Yes, I fear you,"
she replied, too distracted to dissemble.
"My flesh crawls at the horror of your aspect, but I fear the Hyrcanians more. Oh, let me go with you. They will put me to the torture if they find me beside their dead lord."
"Come, then."
He drew aside, and she stepped quickly into the boat, shrinking from contact with him. She seated herself in the bow, and he stepped into the boat, pushed off with an oar, and using it as a paddle, worked his way tortuously among the tall stalks,